Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Shane Beamer is halfway to the most important objective he has. It is Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday, and I'm confident everybody's having a great day because we're tuning in. We're going to talk a little college football, so you got a couple hours of what, for me, I know is about the most enjoyable recreational pursuit I got, and it is a year-round thing, so I appreciate you joining me. I mean, my gosh, it's the first week of May, and we got tons to talk about. Shane Beamer, brand-new South Carolina head coach. Shane Beamer, just brand-new head coach. And I have said that there are two things that have to happen for Shane Beamer to achieve the singular objective right now. Because there's not a culture problem he's got. You know, there's sometimes coaches show up and you're like, oh my gosh. Who was it that took over for Petrino the first time in Louisville? Was that Steve Cragthorpe? I think it was. And then Charlie came in after that. Now, can't tell you what kind of coach Steve Cragthorpe was as far as a head coach. I heard he was a pretty good guy and a pretty good coach. Word is, he showed up, found a talented roster, and I mean just full of just reprobates. Just the absolute, was it? Okay, Cragthorpe. And they didn't win, and he got gone, and then Charlie came in, and then they won some more. But there's not a culture problem at South Carolina. There isn't a facilities problem at South. You know, you got all these, there's a checklist of what's your most important objective. And whoever takes over for Nick Saban, whether it's Dabo or whoever, their most important objective, keep this thing rolling. And he won't, no matter who it is, not at this level. But for Shane Beamer, what is your singular objective? What is the number one priority? What's the goal? He has to improve the roster. Just the sheer talent on that roster. And we have seen coaches come into the SEC and be able to do that. Butch did that at Tennessee. My goodness, Butch did that at Tennessee. Kids didn't stay in the program, and the ones who did, they kind of looked as a junior and senior, sort of how they looked as a freshman. But by and large, I mean, Butch, he got talent in there. I got to say, and tell me if this is unfair. Anyway, no, it's going to be unfair. Because I was just talking, I think it was 24 hours ago, I was like, my gosh, the job Mark Richt did is so underappreciated. And it is. Man won 10 games a year for a decade and a half in the SEC. And part of it was when there were monsters in the East, three of them every year, and it was just a Texas death match. So even Mark Richt, though, you look at him. Dan, is this unfair? Like, there is a much higher level, but there is some Butch at Tennessee that – getting people into the program, talented folks, no problem. Keeping them in the program, it was a different time. But developing them and really, didn't it always seem like the parts equaled more than the sum?
Well, I mean, look at Alvin Kamara, for example. I mean, he is, I don't even know if he said it on record, but it seems like it's a consensus thought with him of he got better in the pros than he was when he finally got his shot at Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely true. If that was not the case, he would have been, you know, a first-round pick, not a third-round pick. I mean, it's almost like he got a little glimpse. In fact, I remember talking his rookie year. We don't talk NFL on this show. Dan, that's a great example because I remember his rookie year. I don't know. It was like week 6. I came in. I was like, I got one big question concerning the best rookie in the NFL, what were you doing in Knoxville? My Lord. If he didn't have that fat tongue by about the middle of the second quarter, you know when you're walking your dog and they get the fat tongue? He needed the fat tongue, man. And Kamara's like, nah, I'm good. Who was it? John Kelly, I think he was splitting some time with. He was a good running back.
Jalen Hurd.
Jalen Hurd was, as until Jalen Hurd looked around and was like, too much dysfunction. So we've seen coaches in the SEC have that as their objective. We've seen them have that as the outcome. Now, that just gets you to the start. All right, now we got some SEC caliber players here, and South Carolina does not have enough of them. They're scattered. They're really scattered on offense, but they're scattered. But you don't win in that conference, quote, even in the East, which I don't say that. It's still the SEC, even when second best is probably going to be Florida, and that's going to be a level down from Georgia. And then I think you got like four that are all kind of, okay, well, this is at least more difficult than it was, I think. But South Carolina's roster just isn't talented. That's the reason Mike Bobo left to go to Auburn. Well, I can coach the kids. Okay, I'll go coach those kinds of kids. Not the kids on the roster. Like, oh, Bo Nix, can't wait. And I'm sure he looked at Bo Nix and was really excited. He didn't take the job because Bo Nix has one or two more seasons at Auburn. I promise you. He took it because they have Bo Nix right now and because of what? Well, that's the type of players that Auburn gets. Well, Mike Bobo's like, I want to be a head coach again. So I want to coach the highest caliber, and they get them at Auburn better than they get them at South Carolina. And there's not one person in Columbia, right? Shane Beamer would go, yeah, he's right. Yeah. So improve the roster. I said two things have to happen. He's got to have game wreckers in state, not even IMG. He's got to have game wreckers in state, and that's not easy. And then the second part, which is actually even more not easy, he's got to keep him away from Clemson and then whomever else. Got to keep him away from Notre Dame, I think, there, because I'm about to go through some recruits in South Carolina and the Palmetto State for the approaching class. And I think one of the top 10 kids is committed to Notre Dame. Of course, Georgia knows the way up there. A.J. Green's a South Carolina kid. Just everybody knows. Whenever the studs are wherever – Auburn and South Carolina were the final two for the Marcus Lattimore out of Spartanburg. Okay, so, I mean, it happens. Everybody knows the way to South Carolina. The reason I say you have to have game records in state is because there's virtually no chance that you have the inside angle, the hook, we've got the in, with the kid who grows up in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. I'm guessing either Southern Miss, Ole Miss, or state has that in. And maybe he wants to go play for Coach Prime. But, in fact, that would be more likely. Kid from Ocean Springs, I'm a four-star wide receiver. Ooh, who you got offers from? Whoever I want. Where are you going to go? I'm going to go play for Coach Prime at Jackson State. Oh, that's interesting. All right, now I'm going to watch. That is more likely than that kid saying, Shane Beamer won me over, man. Can't wait to get to Columbia. You know who he can do that with? The kid from Irmo or Easley or Anderson or wherever. He can do that in-state. But he has to have the kid be in-state first just to get him kind of to the starter's block. The four-star wide receiver from Ocean Springs, Mississippi, Deion Sanders has a better chance of signing that kid than Shane Beamer. So two things have to happen. Got to have game records in state. And when I say keep them away from Clemson and whomever else, I'm trying to be accurate there. Let me be accurate a little further. You got plenty enough to concern yourself with just keeping them away from Clemson. If you somehow can fend off the Tigers, or there's a four-star, I'm just going to pick a position, four-star in-state wide receiver, four stars. Clemson looks around and is like, well, that's good, but we got the five-star from Alabama, and we got the other five-star from, like, Los Angeles. We'll let you have that. Do you know, you ever heard that? This is so random. You know that song, More Than a Woman? It's on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. Bee Gees, Barry Gibb wrote it. He said he wrote it, like, over breakfast, like 30 minutes. No, okay. because he's supposed to like fill out the rest of this soundtrack. So he wrote More Than a Woman, and it was going to be their own song. He's like, nah, we'll put it on the soundtrack. That's fine. Wrote it in about a half hour, he said. And the Bee Gees were printing money. Like, literally, there was a Xerox $1,000 bill shooting out of the side of it. Do you know what Barry Gibb decided to do with the song More Than a Woman? He gave it to the group Tavares because they hadn't had hits yet. He was like, here, I'm going to give this to you so you can have some too. And Tavares was like, okay, great. So the record label didn't release More Than a Woman by the Bee Gees. They released it by Tavares at the insistence of Barry Gibb. Huge hit. Now Tavares gets to be in the cool club. Folks, that's almost what Dabo was doing in state with the four-star, the mythical, I just made the four-star receiver. Because he's like, no, I'm good. I got one from California, one from Birmingham, and I'll let you have this four-star wide receiver. Because you're not in our conference. We do play you. I'm okay with you having, like, literally that's what's going to happen. Now, Dabo doesn't have that thought process, but it's the same outcome. It's the same thought. No, I'll take the 2 5-stars, and we only lost one wide receiver, so we don't really have room for the two that we have. No, there is no win for me to suddenly go to Gaffney and get involved in this 4-star wide receiver recruitment who's already committed to South Carolina. There's no upside. So that's how it actually goes through his mind. What the equivalent is I'm going to let you have the receiver. If you look in state this year, 5-star corner from Malden. That's not nothing, folks. 5-star in-state corner. Okay, I said he's halfway home. Got to have two things, in-state game wrecker and keep him away from Clemson. He's committed to Clemson. Jalen Sneed, 4-star outside linebacker. Kid looks like a stud. Committed to Notre Dame. 4-star tight end. It's a Florida-Clemson thing, apparently. 4-star wide receiver from Irmo, South Carolina. Committed to South Carolina. Committed. I believe. Text Rusty. But Antonio Williams, the only school listed on 24/7. And then Adam Randall. So they got more 4-stars, and they're both committed to Clemson. So out of the top 6 players in the state, a 5-star, 5 4-star kids, Shane Beamer's got one of them at least in his corner right now. Couple committed to Clemson, Notre Dame's in the mix, Florida, like I said. You got plenty enough to worry about, concerns with, just with Clemson. The other schools, deal with them later. But he's halfway home. This is a really good in-state class, and so it means it's an opportunity for Shane Beamer. He's halfway there.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
To lead the confines of Boise, where you could probably win 7 or 8 games a year and live happily ever after, to come down to Alabama and take on King Kong, that takes tremendous courage and belief in yourself. So I'm really excited about Coach Harsin.
Charles Barkley. I bet I have seen him at 20 Auburn football games that I've been to over the years covering them. A couple of them I sat in the stands. My wife likes to go, and she likes seeing the bird. She wants to see the bird fly. And then, you know, some of the other stuff. But she had never seen the eagle, the pregame, the circle, and then, you know, get the piece of chicken at the 50-yard line. So I've sat in the stands a couple, but literally every single time I've seen him at 20 games is because I've only been to 20 in probably the last 20 years. And I try to make one a year. And in addition to the games that will work, obviously, it just makes it tough schedule-wise. Whatever, not important. But I've seen him. The only reason I hadn't been more than 20 is because I hadn't been to more than 20. And he and Bo and Tim Hudson, if you know who that is. So there's just a lot of folks that, you know, they come back and they're all down on the sidelines. So Charles is a big football fan. And what he said, actually the 7 and an 8, it's more than that at Boise. In the Mountain West with, and I'll say it, the emphasis on football and the fact that Boise was kind of the first to leap out there and say, let's make this important and distinctive and some facilities. And then also the JUCO route. Go look at so many of the Boise players that got drafted in the NFL over the last, say, 20, 25 years. And a lot of them had JUCO in their past, which is fine. I'm good friends with a guy, Dave Archer. He played quarterback in the NFL for, I bet he was in the league for 9 or 10 years. And he played at Iowa State. Before that, he went to, I think, Snow Junior College. And there was nothing wrong with Dave. Dave said, I need to play at this level to prove myself first. And so we always think that it's a criminal or the kid's not bright or whatever. And sometimes it's just a level of play thing that, no, I bet I could play. And so, you know, at the Big 8 at that point. And so I think it was Snow he went to and got on some radars. So that happens sometimes as well. And so Boise went the JUCO route, and it's more than 7 or 8, man. It's 9 or 10 or 11, or it's a New Year's Six Bowl. That's just kind of, you know, the spot that Boise still occupies mostly. And he didn't just go for a more high-profile job where it's harder to win. He jumped into the belly of the beast. I've talked about the daily psychological beatdown that the Auburn football coach has had since Nick Saban took that job, and Tuberville was able to kind of stave off for a little while and beat him the first year. But after that, it just got brutal. And I'm saying, like, in the big picture, Gus actually kind of did okay head-to-head. I think he was 3-5, maybe 3-5. So anyway, the points Charles making was correct. What's up, Dan?
Well, I mean, Gus had the most success of anyone. I mean, next to Hugh Freeze being able to beat him back-to-back, which nobody does. But the fact that he was able to get him more than twice, I mean, that's got to be said for something. One thing, though, that Charles did say yesterday, because one of the topics du jour right now in college football and college sports in general is name, image, and likeness. 5 states going to have it starting in July, most of them here in the southeastern part of the U.S. And he was talking about how there could be some resentment in the locker room because you're going to have the top-tier guys. In his example, he used Bo, but you're going to have the Nick Chubbs, the JT Daniels, the Trevor Lawrence's, all of these players who are immediately going to have Toyota and everybody coming to them and saying, hey, will you say that you drive around town in a Toyota and actually drive around town in a Toyota Highlander and, you know, do the commercials for us and all those different types of things? Absolutely. Why not? My marketing is there. I can do it. I don't know if there's going to be resentment, because I think if nothing else, you have to be realistic enough, especially once you get to college, that the business starts then. Because if you're going to complain about it then, it's not going to get any better when you join an NFL roster and you're the 53rd man on said roster, and there are the Matt Ryans or Julio Joneses or Drew Breeses or everybody else who are getting all of the notoriety and all of the advertisement dollars, as opposed to you just trying to cut your way into the league. In college, it's the same way. And if nothing else, guess what? You get a nice little lesson in economics and capitalism on there are the haves and the have-nots, and there's some supply and there's more demand for others than the other ones.
That's true. You know, one of the ways SMU got busted back in the day is that the abundance of superstar players that were on the take, they all drove the same car, a white Mustang, a pony car. Can you imagine today, like, when you can actually give cars to, like, literally every player on the roster if you want to? And so it could be that same sort of tie-in for literally for all of them.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of College Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
The Georgia football program, about as interesting, so many dynamics there as any program in the game for 2021, certainly. So we all pay attention, and we need quality men and women covering it. Our next guest certainly does that for The Athletic, and he's also a published author now as well. It is Seth Emerson. Seth, my friend, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Chuck.
I appreciate you coming on. Talk about that book writing experience. How's it been since it was released? And tell everybody about it as well. Attack today.
Well, it's going to be coming out in paperback this fall, so that's good news. It's a good indicator, I think, for how sales went the first time around. And it's the story, it still holds up, I think, even though the season, it was published before the 2020 season. But it's basically a look at mainly the years 2015 through 2017, which I think are a pivotal 3 years in Georgia football history and say a lot about where we are today with the Georgia football program.
You know, paperback books fit nicely into stockings, don't they?
They do. They do. And, yeah, you can fold them in a way, those hardcover ones. That, by the way, I still have like 50 in my
Oh, the
closet.
Author's copies. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know what? If I see, next time I see you, if you got like a four-finger ring says Seth across your whole, you know, knuckles, I'll know that the sales are going well. Let's talk Georgia program. Speaking of putting a little money, a little scratch, a little folding money in your pocket, players can do that now. Big ceremony. I don't know if the governor of Georgia was after some impartiality or whatever, but in the Georgia recruiting lounge on campus with a Georgia backdrop of Sanford Stadium and a bunch of Georgia pins there and all. And so he signed the bill this morning and that's done. Is that correct?
Yeah, everyone knew it was going to be done. It's almost like he's running for reelection and he believes that there are a lot of Georgia football fans in the state and that embracing the Georgia football program will help him either in his primary or the general election or both.
I have seen different ideas about how name, image, likeness, when it is in place now. Now it's Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, New Mexico. There's one, Alabama. And then also Maryland is in the loop. They've still got their governor to sign it in South Carolina as well. So that's pretty much all of them where it's just about to happen. I've seen different models, Seth, where, all right, young man, go get what you get. I have also seen where we will have a collective where a percentage or all or whatever will go into a pot so we can make sure all scholarship athletes get theirs. I would have to imagine if I were on scholarship and able to, you know, ply my wares, I would like that second option a little less.
Yeah, and so this Georgia bill, and this is what caused some confusion early on, was written in such a way that it had a couple parts in it that said that schools shall basically create a pool where athletes contribute to it and off of their name, image, likeness, that their profits go into this pool and that they can't pull out of this pool until they are 1 year removed from school.
Yeah, almost like escrow or something.
Yeah, an escrow account. But it was written in a kind of a complicated way such that we got the clarification only today from the state and University of Georgia, for one, saying that basically you can opt out of the pool or you need to opt in to the pooling arrangement, and that Georgia is not going to do that. And frankly, I'm not sure what school would. I mean, maybe a smaller school would, you know, they don't need it for recruiting benefits as much as a Georgia, even a Georgia Tech. But if you're Georgia or Georgia Tech, when you're recruiting, you want to be able to say to them, when you come here, we have a rabid fan base, we have resources, we're in a big market, or we have access to big markets, and you're going to be able to monetize from day one and receive money from day one off of you being an athlete here at the University of Georgia or Georgia Tech, or go over to, it's going to be the same thing in Alabama. So Alabama, Auburn, it's going to be the same thing in Florida. And so essentially that's what it's going to look like.
Trevor Lawrence stepped off the field his final game, I mean, literally into a pair of Nike Adidas cleats. He had been wearing Nike at Clemson. Clemson got paid. If it is a year ago, could he sign with Adidas against the school's deal?
That's a good question, and that's part of what we still don't know exactly what this looks like. I mean, I asked somebody today, a fellow writer who's been following this more, I said, does this mean that JT Daniels can just on July 1st set up shop to sign autographs and get paid whatever for those autographs? And the person said, I think so. Yeah, that's what it means. I'm sure that it means that they can, for instance, get money off of their YouTube account or can start selling or endorsements or stuff off of their Twitter accounts, Instagram, whatever. That's going to be the first thing that they can do.
Seth's Pizza, best in Athens, and get a free pie.
Yeah, and before, couldn't do that. That makes you ineligible. You know, I mean, we all talk about AJ Green, what happened with him, and Todd Gurley.
$1,000. It was $1,000 for AJ, wasn't it?
Yeah, $1,000. And in Gurley's case, it was, I think they said it was around $3,200, if memory serves me correctly. So I think a lot of people still want some guardrails to be set up so it's not abused, quote unquote, for recruiting purposes. But, you know, I'm not even sure the appetite for that. You know, I mean, we're in this day and age where there's a lot of people who just say, why not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, yeah. I mean, I'm assuming your undergrad was broadcast journalism or mass comm or something, correct?
Yeah, just print journalism. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to ask you a legal question. Do you know, it's like in Major League Baseball, until you appear in a Major League game, you're not part of the Players Association, so they can't sell your jerseys. Like, you have to get to an official game. All right, now we can sell, you know, Bryce Harper jerseys, even though we know he's going to be a star. Do you know if a high school senior makes himself ineligible for taking an endorsement deal while he's still in the recruitment process? Because I got a driveway, and I would love to have some kids sign autographs.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think so if the rules are changing. Now, the NCAA, something that was interesting today that was new, was Jerry Moorhead told me that essentially the NCAA has bagged out for the moment of, like, they've tapped out on trying to make their own legislation on this. They're waiting. They're seeing that these states are doing things, and they realize now that the genie's out of the bottle. They're not going to be able to pass any legislation NCAA-wise that updates and modernizes their name, image, likeness, what they allow, because these states have laws that supersede it. I mean, if we go back a few years, Chuck, when this all started, you remember when California passed its law?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
there was this hue and cry, like, what are they doing? You know, this is going to kill these schools in California because it's against NCAA rules and everything. That law wasn't supposed to take effect. And I don't think it's still not supposed to take effect until
22.
Summer of, well, 23, I think.
Okay, all right.
I may be wrong. You may be right. But the point is that the timeline has accelerated. Things have changed so much that as soon as these – what are the states that are having this take effect July 1? Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. There may be another one. Colorado may be part of it too. But those are the ones that off the top of my head I know are going into effect right away. What do those schools have in common? They're in the SEC footprint, because as soon as these
– South Carolina's next, too.
Yeah. 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 So as soon as they realize, hey, this is coming eventually, let's not wait. Let's go make sure that this is not a recruiting disadvantage for us, then that was it. And so the NCAA's only hope at this point is for some federal legislation. And when I say only hope, I don't mean that name, image, likeness won't happen. I mean, maybe, you know, in their deep recesses of their hearts, they hope that the Supreme Court bails them out with some ruling, but nobody anticipates that based on the oral arguments out there. But the Supreme Court thing was the Alston case, which is separate from name, image, likeness. I mean, it's all kind of rolled into one, but right now people I talk to don't anticipate that the Alston case will have an effect on what is happening with these state laws and name, image, likeness. And so that it's going to come down to federal legislation. But if there's no federal legislation passed before July 1st, then what Kemp signed today and what the governors in Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi have signed, and Colorado, that's what happens. Those laws are, you know, July 1st. Everyone is proceeding, Chuck, under the assumption now that July 1st, these kids can start start doing what they want to do. I mean, they've already – Georgia and a lot of other schools have already partnered with outside firms to advise these athletes on here's how you monetize your brand.
Wrapping up with Seth Emerson, covers the Georgia program and obviously the big development today, name, image, likeness for the athletics. So let's talk on field at least just a little bit. And something that I've been kind of formulating in my brain a little bit, walk me through the upper regions, at least, of the running back depth chart, because I'm getting some interesting responses from folks. I just did a quick text message poll this morning and started last night. Eight different folks who cover or follow the Bulldogs. And I was like, who's the best running back in Athens? I couldn't get anybody to say Zamir White. Everybody says Kendall Milton or, well, if they would use James, you know, whatever. You tell me, who's the best running back in Athens right now? Because literally nobody will say Zamir.
Well, it probably depends on how you ask it. Who's got the most upside? Maybe it's Kendall Milton. But who is going to be the number one back? If everyone is healthy for every game this year, the one who's going to get the most carries and have the most yards by the end of the year will be Zamir White. I think, Chuck, that there's a little bit of just who's the shiny new object, and Kendall Milton is going into his sophomore year. You've only seen him for 1 year, and he had some injuries. So, you know, he's somebody that a lot of people say, well, you know, give him Zamir's carries, and he'll really become a star. Well, he may get those carries in 2022, but in 2021, they see in Zamir White a guy that, by the way, 4 years ago, he was the five-star prospect.
Yeah.
He's had two ACL injuries since then, but I think a lot of fans kind of project that means that he's lost a step. He's just not the same guy since he had those two ACL injuries, and maybe there's some truth to that, but the counter to that is the further he gets away from it, the more comfortable he's going to get and the better he's going to get. You're going to see even better from him this year.
There's six men, two women that I texted, and it was one of the ladies who said Kenny Mack. So tell me, and she's also the only one that used a swear word in her response, but tell me about Kenny Mack.
He, you know, he missed the spring because he suffered an elbow injury. Second week, it was quickly overshadowed by George Pickens getting his ACL injury. But so he's going to be passed by the shiny new object, who's not that new. He's been on campus a year, in Kendall Milton. But, McIntosh is a guy they like. I mean, I think he's a guy who wasn't as highly recruited as the other guys, but he's going to be in the mix. He just kind of gets forgotten a little bit because he was hurt this year. But I think a lot of people have already assumed that Kendall Milton is the number three back, but I think Kenny McIntosh will still have a lot to say about that.
Yeah, and I even had one person say, well, is James Cook going to even play running back? And I was like, never mind. So there's a lot of frustration to have so much talent. There's a lot of frustration when it comes to that running back room, man. Seth, I appreciate it always, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Seth Emerson from The Athletic. Yeah, it was eight folks, two people who were fans, and everybody else in some sort of official capacity, either in or around the program. People like Seth, but I knew Seth's coming on, so I didn't text him. But ahead of that, I was like, I need to know. And nobody will say Zamir. And I just don't understand that. I got one Kenny Mack. I got one definitive James Cook. One, well, if James Cook is a running back, which is what he is, and I like, you know, the versatilities. And then every other answer is Kendall Milton. And I was like, I don't remember his speech in New York last December. But he's a good-looking running back, and I know they like him. You know how I know they like him? Because they were beating my team last year. The first possession of the – and this kid, Kendall Milton, he's a true – Dan, he's a true freshman? Yeah.
Yes.
All right, true freshman last year. And what was the Auburn game like? Week two or three? I mean, it was early.
Second game of the season, yeah.
Yeah. And it's the first possession of the second half, and Kendall Milton's in the game, and they give him the football. And I'm like, all right. That's what they think of the kid, and he's fourth team, and he is a stud. Don't get me wrong. Zamir White, here's Chuck's opinion of Zamir White. And as Seth said, two ACLs. I think there's another Zamir still to show in Athens. I really do. I think there's another Zamir that so far, you know what he's done his first couple of years? He's run into piles. That's basically what it is. Give him the ball, run into pile. And I don't know if it's a cut thing and like ability to cut or between his ears, willingness to cut, want to cut. I don't know. But there's another Zamir, and I think we're going to see it in 2021. I'm excited about it. But I understand also, and he is a plow horse, and he looks durable, and that's for a kid, again, with two ACLs. So I was just a little surprised by the responses of people who either cover the team a lot more than I do or are fans of the team, and I'm not. And it was just an interesting – I don't know, Dan, what would you have said if you didn't know, if I didn't, like, you know, give you the big reveal? Try to be honest. Would you have said Zamir, or would you have given me another answer?
James Cook, possibly, because they want to throw the football more.
Yeah. Oh, dadgummit. I meant to bring up with Seth my idea. I got an idea to make money. Let James Cook. They need T-shirts. Let James – all I want is the finder's fee. I was going to ask Seth if he knew somebody in the James Cook family. Let James – I'm telling you, kid's going to make some money off that. And I'm happy for him. Just throw something to your boy. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, wrap up hour one next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Thank you to Seth Emerson. Appreciate him coming on. From The Athletic, we were talking Georgia football and then also name, image, likeness. And there is an opportunity for every single program in America, and not all of them have the same opportunity. That's why I said there's an opportunity, a different one. And it relates directly to what I started the show with today. The single most important objective for, especially for a guy like Shane Beamer, is to start that process, to start that recruiting pipeline. And the opportunity for all coaches, and again, it's to a different degree, just how desperate it is, and whether, you know, that concept we talk about a lot, whether you're really trying to get ahead or you're just trying to keep up. South Carolina right now would like to just kind of keep up. And so their opportunity, it's a little bigger. You can make bigger bigger improvements at a place like Carolina than you can Columbus. So the opportunity is around name, image, likeness. And what you are going to be doing to create the opportunities for the scholarship athletes, and what PR firms or marketing firms or media coaching firms, whatever it is. And do you know what, for most people, we had Seth Emerson on again, and I said, like Seth's piece in Athens, tweet out a picture, and I am even the backup tight end at Georgia. In fact, I would bet you, however a business gets word to the players, and there already is a go-to, a conduit. Then Seth's Pizza in Athens calls and says, hey, I just want to make a blanket offer. Every football player, once a week, come by, get a free pie, send the tweet, whatever. That'll happen, and there's not a Seth's Pizza as far as I know in Athens. But that'll happen. So I appreciate Seth coming on again and working through name, image, likeness and some of the things that Georgia is going to do. And I also asked him about the running back room there. And I said, nobody will say Zamir. That last night, there's a bigger picture. Like I said, Seth was coming on, and I started looking at the offense there and what I think the best Georgia offense can be, the best 2021 Georgia offense. And I've also told you, I know if you listen, maybe this is familiar, but I've got my own. I made this thing up. And it's a 20-point grading scale, and I go through every team in Power 5, and then I bounce through, Group of 5 as well. Do it every year, every summer before the season. And I mentioned it recently because I'm adding a couple of points, I think. The transfer portal is going to change, so it might be a 22-point scale. It's not important. But last night, I'm looking at Ole Miss and Georgia, and specifically their offenses. And I have a random and I think irrelevant conclusion that I arrived at last night or maybe this morning, and it somehow makes a very large point. When I say I think it's irrelevant is because I don't think these two teams will play each other, but I do believe there is a very large point here. Offensive, and I was just going through, just happened to be Georgia last night, happened to be Ole Miss, and I was just looking at offense. I'm just writing things down because it's May, and I don't really do this till we get to the summer anyway, but I'm just doing stuff. Offensive production-wise, I don't think it matters who Ole Miss plays. I do for Georgia. Doesn't that mean something? Like, I'm asking, like, right now, hey, Ole Miss, they're playing Kentucky or South Carolina or Tennessee or, whoever they're playing. And you wouldn't care. What do you think Matt Corral and that offense is going to do? I don't know, 40 points and 600 yards maybe? If I ask you about the Georgia offense, like I said, I don't think they play each other this year. I know Georgia's got, Arkansas and Auburn as always from the other side. So it's not gonna, they're not going to match up. But the point, like, isn't Georgia's offense supposed to be somewhere past where Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin are after one season together? And I found myself going through the Ole Miss schedule going, don't care, don't care, don't care. Even Alabama, they're not going to win. But with Georgia, I'm like, ooh, the Clemson defense, what's it going to look like? Oh, the Auburn defense, what's... I don't care with Ole Miss, and I do with Georgia. That there is a takeaway.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.